are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated that help move the precious metals markets. I'm Tori alongside Rob and Miles, and together we have over 80 years experience brokering and advising on the physical precious metals. McIlvaney Financial Group is the parent company. You can learn more about that at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. We're going to start with a weekly recap of what has transpired with the precious metals, and it seems like it's a broken record, but they never seem to disappoint as far as excitement and volatility, guys.
Yeah,
well, it's a relatively short-term broken record, right? We've only been saying the same thing this time for the last couple weeks. We've been saying the same thing the other direction for about 2.5 straight years, so it's about time gold got to catch its breath. So gold is down another 6.5% this week, currently sitting at $4,532, which last I checked is still quite a bit more than this time last year. So I know gold has been taking a pretty healthy correction, and we'll dig into gold a little bit here in a few minutes because it hits some numbers that matter, and we'll see how that works out. But before we do that, let's keep going with the weeklies, moving over to silver. Silver down a little bit less, 5.5%. Currently at $71.80. Similar story as gold. The other white metals, like say platinum down 5%, and it is back under that 2000 mark, so it's down to 1912 as it also continues to pull back. Palladium down 5%, just under 1400. It's 1397. And the paper markets continue their very gradual slide down the hill. They're down about 0.7%, so a little bit under 1% over the past week. The S&P is 6,591 points there. And finally, the US dollar is basically dead even, still sitting just below 100. It is at 99.65. And although it's dead even on the week, it is still trending upwards.
Well, I just wanted to bring out one question, Miles. Are the equity markets still below their 200-day moving averages?
That's an interesting question because they did pop today.
Yeah, the S&P is actually still below its 200-day moving average. That's kind of become the ceiling here over the last couple of days.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah, broke below on last Thursday, the 19th. Now we're just using that as a ceiling as it's pushing sideways. So yeah, we could have had a little breakdown. It may dance around that 200-day moving average for a week or two, but if that was a bearish signal, then yes, that could be the ceiling that we bump our head against here for a couple weeks before it takes another downturn.
You know, this extreme volatility is unlike anything I've seen, I think, in my 18 years as far as dollar value. I mean, for it to plummet 10%, gold that is, fell 10% Monday, it did, and we were asleep. Rob, you made a comment.
I was awake.
You weren't.
I woke up at 1:30 and I saw gold at $4,100, down $400. And I'm like, oh man.
$400 in the Asian market alone.
Yeah.
I mean, just crazy. And into the London market. And then it rebounded. It came back up. By the time I was in the office, waking up like a normal person and coming in, it had come back up 9.5% from the low. So think about that. Down 10, up 9.5. Now remember, in order to go down 10 and get back to even, it has to go up 20%. And it didn't do that, but it made up half of the gains that it had lost. And so Monday was kind of a bloodbath with gold and silver.
Well, and those buy trades, when gold hit 4,100, which is the 200-day moving average, there were already trades ready to buy at the 200-day moving average. So somebody didn't look at gold and say, oh, I better buy some. Those trades are already in place, and that's what you saw with a rapid acceleration back to the upside.
I totally agree. And to me, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if some of that wasn't intentional or there weren't some people that were looking to take advantage. It's no different than the opposite, right? You drive a price up so that you can short it. Likewise, you drive a price down so you can buy it. And I think the world still wants gold. Central banks, sovereign entities, big funds haven't lost interest in gold. We have a liquidity issue, which we're going to get into the show. So we've got a lot of credit market concerns. But that being said, drive it down and then buy. I'd rather buy it at 4,100 than 5,100. And so they got their wish. And likewise, silver. I mean, silver dropped about 30%, Miles, in just a few days. And that overnight deal, it rebounded by about 16%. So hitting a low just below 62 and coming right back up into that $70 range, $72 range is remarkable. And that's kind of where we are as we record. We did get as high as 75 from what I saw. And that, again, is an amazing recovery. And this dollar swing in each of these metals, I mean, I remember silver was just priced at $11, you know, at the start of the COVID low.
Yeah.
And here it's moving $11 in a single day.
Yeah.
Up. It's remarkable.
But I'll tell you this, if you look at both metals, silver and gold, they are both well above their 200-day moving average. Whereas equities are hitting the 200-day moving average as if it's the resistance, it's the ceiling. So if people are concerned about the price action for their metals, they'd be more concerned about their equity portfolio.
I would be too. And typically we look at equities as being undervalued or gold overvalued when the Dow Jones Industrial Average to the gold price ratio, so yeah. Dow gold ratio,
yeah.
Just take the Dow, divide by the gold price. And when it gets into the single digits, you start to think, okay, the equities are going to bottom out here. Gold's going to kind of top out relative to the stock market. So we love to operate on relative values,
yeah.
Those ratios, right?
Yeah.
In a bunch of different categories. But the Dow gold ratio got down to 9-1. And you guys, that wasn't because the equities markets were bottoming. I mean, they're still, look where they are, close to the all-time highs. We're not in a bear market in stocks.
No.
And we got down to 9-1. This is a great image to show here because every bear market bottom in the stock market, I'm talking the depression, Black Monday, dot-com bubble, the financial crisis, COVID, all of those bottomed out at single digits on the Dow to gold. And we've been as high as 45 times the price of gold in terms of the Dow. And for us to be at 9, you'd think, okay, stocks are where the value is. It scares me. Would you be selling your gold and buying the stock market right now?
No.
Miles, I mean, you could do a little deeper dive, but it just looks like a rollover. It looks like a dirt mound when you look at the S&P 500 over the last quarter.
Yeah, I definitely think dirt mound is the best way to put it. So, you know, it's losing momentum. It looks like outside of Durango, Colorado, where our offices are, you drive a little bit west towards Mesa Verde and you see the rolling hills as you come up on Mesa Verde. And that's kind of what the S&P has been looking like here for the last couple months. So it's lost momentum to the upside. It flattened out. It's starting to gain some momentum to the downside. We push below that 200-day moving average. You know, the 200-day isn't quite as spaced out from the price as, say, gold was, because the Dow or the S&P, they haven't had those frantic moves like the metals did here at the end of the year. So the same patterns exist, just kind of in a more measured amount, up or down, away from those moving averages. But yeah, we could certainly see similar movement in gold. I mean, it was a pretty aggressive bounce. We had a very sharp decline. And then as Rob was talking about, we've had a couple very sharp bounces on the downside, but we have put in two consecutive, fairly significant lower lows in gold, bouncing against those moving averages. And like Rob and I were talking about earlier today, oftentimes when you see that type of aggression take place, those were decisions that were made previously. You know, those are traders placing orders at, you know, in this case, a shorter term 618 fib, which we hit in that move down on Monday. We hit that 200-day moving average, which we talked about a second ago, and we hit really the long-term 382 fib. So we had multiple indicators, multiple places where various traders would have had standing buy orders if we had a retracement back down to that level, which did happen. So now we filled all those orders at 4,200.
Those orders are filled. Now what?
Right. So now we get back to my word of the year, which is momentum.
Momentum.
Which way are we going to see the momentum take? Are we going to see traders look at the aggression of the rebound up and think, okay, gold is probably going to start maybe trying to put in a double top, maybe even try to go to higher pricing? But are we going to see something like that happen here where it starts trailing its way back up towards 5,000? Or is the market going to say, hey, all of those standing buy orders are out of the way. Now we can finally march down to lower pricing, 3,700, 3,300. Some of the prices we talked about last week, some of the stair steps on the way down. So you really don't know in these interim time periods. which I think is why a lot of our show, we try to encourage people not to get built up into the hype. There are reasons why we look at these stair-step buy-in opportunities, because you do not know which one it's going to turn on. And so you want to layer and stagger your moves.
I read Citigroup's report on the metals, and their positioning on gold is half of their analysts are looking at a plateau for gold short term. 30% are bullish and 20% are bearish. So I think the sentiment from Citigroup anyway, and they're pretty good, is gold's just going to kind of move sideways for a while.
Yeah, there was a pretty, you know, consistent consensus, if you will, about $6,000 gold in 2026. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that revised lower to $5,000 now.
Yeah.
Does that count? We already hit $5,000.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you don't get to put your party hat on for that. I think we're going to hit a number we've already hit this year.
Yeah, they're talking close at the end of the year. Like, yeah. what do we close at?
Okay.
And I still feel pretty good about 6,000 because of the fact that we've got all these geopolitical tensions, obviously. And it's not the tension, it's the economic ripple effect. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I want to dive into that a little bit. But first, Miles, just a great job on last week's charts, the last couple of weeks. So for those of you who don't see the imagery, you can go to McElvaney.com and find Golden Rule Radio, McElvaney.com. And then you'll find the charts there on YouTube as well. So look at the images because it's important. You know, silver, it actually lends credence and confidence to what you're owning and or when to be buying, and sometimes even to be exiting. You know, I sent out a client letter saying, look, we're going to be in this phase for a bit. You may want to sell the spikes and buy the dips. And that's kind of playing out here, but time will tell how long that plays out. It'd be nice to start stair-stepping up consistently again in a responsible fashion, not a manic, euphoric kind of FOMO fashion where it's YouTube mania and hype. But here we're looking right at where silver ends up holding on. Pretty remarkable. We're right at that 786 fib and the 100-day moving average. So you had two supports there. But gold, we did not see that coming. When it got down to the 4,100, that was, like you mentioned, that's that 50-day, I'm sorry, the 200-day moving average. But we didn't give up the entire move. To give up the entire move from November, you know, a full Fibonacci 1.0 retracement, we'd be down, like you said, Rob, below 4,000. And some people feel like we're not really going to rebound higher until we see that. So some technical analysts are like a little more short-term bearish, but not long-term bearish. It's just, where does the floor ultimately get put in? And Miles, you know how hard that is, because we can't, you can't predict the retracement levels until you know where the ceiling's been put in. We know where that is now at $5,600 on gold and $121.75 on silver. Those are the new all-time highs, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, getting into these concerns that I have for the economy, I mean, there's some positive economic news out there. Like the Fed last week was talking about how the median GDP projection is now raised from 2.3 to 2.4. So you think, okay, the economy's doing better. And they did say the economy is on solid pace. And yet it's different. Every week that goes by that we have this Iranian conflict and an increase in the military response, and more importantly, an increase in the oil price. So as oil has spiked, the longer it stays projected out as a higher price spike, the more negative the impact is on the economy.
And the consumer, who's already overstretched, and we're looking at consumer loans really not doing well. You have data on that, right?
Well, the credit markets in general, private equity especially, like it's showing it more. David, in fact, the McElvaney Weekly Commentary goes into some of the liquidity issues this week. The McElvaney Weekly Commentary is also on our site, and you can hear a little bit deeper dive on that. But before the conflict broke out, investors were already hedging against a credit market crash at a higher rate than what we've seen since COVID. The total number of outstanding contracts on funds that do well when the credit markets are slowing has doubled over the last 12 months. So this started about a year ago. The cracks in the foundation aren't brand new. But with that, sure enough, now you've got credit funds that are limiting or freezing redemptions. Rob, I think you brought up BlackRock.
Miles did, but some of these groups are limiting withdrawals to 5% or none at all.
Or none at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen that and know people personally impacted by that, right? Where you can't get your money out. And I remember that in the financial crisis when even money markets, yep. the withdrawals in money markets were frozen.
Right.
Right. For 4 to 6 weeks, you were put in a queue. And that was money market, which is essentially cash. But anyway, credit spreads are widening, just like we saw in silver. That's a negative sign. And then the credit default swaps and the credit spreads are at the highest level since they've been since April of last year, which is when the whole world was worried about tariffs and gold was really running. And so that's still there. Now you've got this credit market contagion fear where it starts to feed itself. There's tightening of the belt. There's less lending. There's less redemption. There's less trust. And it starts to cycle.
And there's a liquidity crisis, which yes. will affect our market.
Absolutely. And the reason it affects our market.
Because it's liquid.
It's liquid. People need liquidity. So, of course, they're going to sell what's liquid.
Yep.
There's nothing more liquid than the precious metals in the U.S. dollar.
Yep.
Okay. But some equities and everything else, they have to get liquid. And then what happens, the longer this goes on, the more concerning it is because the bond yields will start to climb. And then the government's going to respond and the central bank's going to respond with yield curve controls. Remember, the Federal Reserve is going to be the buyer of last resort. They're going to be buying up the treasuries because you and I don't want them. Other governments don't want them. Major funds don't want our debt. And pretty soon now you're printing money galore. Dollars declining sharply. Gold starts to climb again. This is 2009 and 10 all over again. This is 2021 all over again, post-COVID response. Look at what happened there. So you've got weak labor markets. You've got this real wealth divide going on. The oil and gas prices are really leading to more of a stagflation concern. So it's important because oil has a ripple effect throughout the entire economy. Everything gets more expensive to transport. Everything gets more expensive to create and manufacture, produce, and then it costs more to buy. So inflation, sure enough, is already picking back up in February, again, before the conflict. And yet the economy is slowing. And that's the concern. So in the modern day of AI drawouts, you can put it in and say, hey, what happens over the next 5, 6, 7 weeks if oil prices stay high? And you guys, it's not good. We've never seen oil prices spike this way without it resulting in an inflation. And what I mean this way is a reversion from the mean. So 50% from the mean every single time, which is what we've done, every single time has caused a recession. And it's going to be worse in Asia and in the Middle East than it is here. Their natural gas prices are up 130%. Ours are up 7%. We don't have ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz. Qatar losing 17% of its liquefied natural gas production for the next 5 years doesn't impact us. We can produce what we need here. Very damaging there. But again, that's a global recession concern. The less well they're doing, the less well we do as well.
Tori, I know you're making some comparisons to some of the things we've seen over previous years. And one thing that we talked about earlier that I continue to find interesting, and I've mentioned a few times before, I don't think the recent gold rise was 2008. I think it was 2006. And it was leading into the type of big explosion up that we had in 2009, 10, 11 after the stock market crashed. And I'm looking back at the charts in gold versus the S&P, just kind of comparing those two charts back through like 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, where we had the run up and then the eventual decline in the stock market and then the big run up in gold up until 2011. And what's interesting here to me is about 2 years before that happened, we had a big run up in gold and then it sat sideways for 2 years. We looked at gold going from around, what, $300 to $700, $750, drop back down into the 500s and then park there. Well, that sounds a lot like what happened in COVID, where a couple of years prior, we had this run up where we had a move up in gold, then it ended up sitting sideways for a while. Then out of nowhere, the stock market around 2007 started to top out and gold shot up. Shut up from $650 up to around 1,000. The stock market was still peaking while gold was rising up to 1,000, and the stock market started to decline as gold was peaking. Gold then had a pretty healthy correction as the stock market was starting to come down. gold ends up sitting sideways for a few months into the middle of 2008, and then all of a sudden we get the big stock market crash, which pulls all the other markets down with it for a fair bit. But from my perspective, I feel like we're seeing the exact same thing happen right now. You know, we had a big run up a couple years ago, and then gold sat sideways, just kind of catching its breath, getting ready to sprint. The stock market has started to top out here over the last year and starting to show us some bearish momentum to the downside, while gold takes a big jump step up and a correction back down as the stock market looks like it's starting to roll over. We could be continuing the same pattern we saw back through 2006, 7, and 8, and finally over the next year, let's say, moving into that kind of end game with the equities market. And back then, it was mortgage-backed securities and credit default swaps. Today, it's, as you just went through, credit default swaps again. But also, we have this massive private equity situation that's starting to unwind. And I know there are a lot of people talking about BlackRock out there being unable to pay out on some of that stuff. And they're not the only ones either. It may be a different cause, but patterns do sometimes repeat themselves.
Well, and debt is debt is debt, regardless of the level. Whether it's household debt, so we're talking about auto loan delinquencies, credit card delinquencies, bankruptcies, big business bankruptcies are skyrocketing now. And again, you guys, this is the result of fundamentals prior to the Iranian conflict. So the war can't be blamed for this, but the war can pour gasoline on the fire the longer it draws out. We already crossed $39 trillion in debt now. So that $39 trillion is the value of the economies cumulatively of China, Germany, Japan, India, and Great Britain. So if anybody thinks that we can overcome $39 trillion in debt, you're wrong. We can kick the can down the road, but at what point is there a reckoning? And you're seeing the reckoning in the credit markets right now. It's a different level, just like you see individual bankruptcies, corporate bankruptcies, credit market issues with these default swaps and everything else. There's a real contagion brewing. And I'm not saying that it was that big of a deal prior to. I'm just worried that the longer this gets drawn out, the more it adds to that. And the more unhealthy an economy becomes, the more necessary war becomes, the more necessary it is to draw it out for both stimulation and distraction. And it's very concerning to me. And with that comes a very aggressive move in the gold price. And even aside from that, I'm very bullish on the gold price, because it's not just debt and deficit, it's central bank purchases, it's the dollar stability, it's political stability, it's monetary policy, money supply, bond market weakness, interest rate policy, which now they're saying there's no foreseeable future where there's a rate cut until they see how this thing plays out. There's government spending, and then ultimately there's fear and greed, and those are all reasons to be bullish on gold.
Well, and I think the thing I was pointing out when I was looking back at like 2006, 7, and 8 is we could end up having an interim period here where after the run-up we just had, we see gold kind of sit sideways, maybe even continue to take some stair steps down like we did in 2006, 7, and 8 as the equities market is starting to roll over and possibly even end up pulling us down with it. So I think this is one of the times where you can look at the long-term reasoning as to why precious metals continue to make sense when you bring in the conversation of Fed spending and war spending and just spending, and it just gets exhausting for the guy that's just trying to buy groceries every week. But, you know, look at the trading range we talked about last week, where it's moved since then, as we've moved back below this larger trading range over the last couple of weeks. Now we've come back up to it. The floor could have just become the ceiling. We could see some sideways trading here, but we're talking about a big trading range. When you go back to these trading ranges we saw back in that 2008 market, you're talking about like a $300 gold trading range when gold was $1,200. I mean, that's a 30% trading range. But you take that in context with the fact that the equities market, like it is now, is starting to roll over and could end up dragging gold down with it, because there's more gold trade in the paper market than actually exists out there. Don't think that the futures and options can't overpower the physical market for a short period of time. So I think what I'm getting at is don't chase the news. Try not to go out there placing your financial decisions based on what CNNZ today because they're going to say something different tomorrow. That's why I like to come back to the charts, and we try to pick these levels where we say, if it hits this particular level, like it did Monday, buy something. If it hits this next level below it, buy something. It doesn't have to be all or nothing investing. You can stagger these things in as momentum shifts over time.
And remember, when the equities markets really collapse, gold and silver initially go down with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also when we could see that Dow gold ratio come down to 3-1.
Which would be excellent. We appreciate you stopping by. We encourage you to head on over to our website for some more information or to catch the charts each week for Golden Rule Radio. You can find us at McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com. If you'd like to talk to one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556.